All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
Oh, snap. What's up, guys? Yes, it is Luis from Koenig Wheels here by himself. And Max has me in the middle, like a newscaster, just chilling by myself. What's up, y'all? Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Real quick, just want to do some maintenance work. If you haven't checked it out, last week, me and Max actually did a podcast where we reviewed some of your rides. We were able to kind of pull up some of the cars that you guys sent over to us. And basically, it wasn't a roast fest. We try not to do a roast fest. We try to actually do these type of podcasts to give appreciation to some of you guys out there that send us these dope cars. And basically, just go check it out because maybe you made it onto the episode. And also, this last Friday, we dropped a piece of content where we had High Speed Motorsports. We did a garage tour with them. And yeah, man, Max really outdid himself with the edit. And I'm sure you guys are going to dig it. Hugh basically walked us around his whole garage and... yeah, man, it was just a good one. I'm sure you guys are going to dig that. And this Friday, we're going to be dropping another piece of content as well where it's going to be me, once again, basically explaining some of the wheel terms that you guys ask about all the time. We've done videos like this before, but basically in this video, we're compiling a bunch of those questions that you guys ask, and we're going to be answering them right there for you. But yeah, without further ado, I want to bring in our guests. Now, if you don't know these guys... one of them, he's been on our podcast before. The other one, he's a sick, sick, sick drifter that I'm excited for this year because it's his first year in Formula Drift. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to CoreWorks' own Nick Novak and Greg Bucell.
Woo! Hey, guys.
Woo! I know. Yeah. I need like a whole like cheering section to kind of give me some hype here. So I'm hyping myself up.
I have no shame in clapping for myself. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So what's up, guys? What's the deal? How's everything in Georgia treating you, man?
Things are good, man. He just came back from Drift Week.
I just came back from Drift Week.
Sweet.
This morning. Yeah.
And how was that?
It was fun. I left. Everything was all still wintry and there were no leaves. I come back. Everything is green and bright and sunny.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
One of the days we drifted into the snow. It was definitely fun.
Yeah.
So Drift Week is like the summer camp of drifters.
I'm sure.
You know, it's kind of like let's bounce around, sing Kumbaya, someone get to make out, and they come back home.
So I'm sure. I mean, so I wanted to kind of just get right into it, just because I literally was just watching it once again, just because I think we were talking about a little bit before. I don't want to get too into it, but how do you feel about your season? This is your first season, Nick. As a pro driver, you kind of came in hot. I'm excited for you, but how did you feel when you went to Long Beach? And tell us about that battle that you had with Bok Cheese, man.
So it was definitely a little bit of a shaky start. Practice, we were trying to figure out the car setup, trying to get everything dialed in, put it in the wall a couple times, finally figured it out on day two on competition day. And then once we got that in, we felt comfortable chasing in practice, and I felt like I could put it on anyone, and tried to give it to Odie. He just got us just by a little bit, but I'm feeling very excited for round two.
That's what we were talking about before, man. And sometimes I try to look at these things as a little unbiased because you guys are my boys, you know, but I was looking at it and I'm like, am I the only one that kind of sees that this could have went any direction? Am I a hater? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, I got to figure this out, because honestly, I saw it and I'm like, yo.
It was close. And Odie's a champion.
Yeah, he's an OG, man.
He's a consistent top driver. He's always on the podium. So for it to be that close, I think I feel pretty confident for the rest of the season going forward.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I feel like as a rookie, we got to just kind of take the blows as they come. And as a rookie, when you win, it needs to be a clear, defiant win. There's no arguments, no ifs, ands, or buts, because Nick's the last thing he wants to do. Now with Odie in top three in season points, something like that to shake up a point series as a rookie, is that's when you start to get the Daigos, That's when you start to get the James Deans, those hot names where we're like, oh, where these rookies come from? And those rookies come once a blue moon. I truly, humble brag, think that Nick is one of those rookies that's going to come in and shake things up.
Listen, I was...
Just because we didn't see it round one does not mean the next seven rounds he's not going to come in and put it on some doors.
Well, so, and like I said, this is not tooting horns here because I'm a fan, obviously. I told you guys this before, but like literally, you know, what he did last year and literally just wrecked it and then just said, you know what? I'm coming in hot and came in hot. The boy is hot, man. Right now you're on it, bro. And it's like, as a fan, I'm excited to see, just like he said, I'm excited to see what the next rounds bring out of you guys. Cause yeah, man, that Curl Works team is hot right now, man.
Appreciate you. Yeah. Nick, I was lucky enough. I was judging that event, Clutch Kickers, and Nick showed up. And I saw him pull the car out, and I was like, all right. Like, I kind of knew of Nick. He had judged a couple events that he had ran before. He had won those rounds or those Pro-Am series. And so I knew Nick was, like, a competitive driver. Nick came out in the new BMW that he's currently driving. He just did a couple laps at Clutch Kickers. I think he ended up getting a podium spot. And right after, I just climbed down, and I went over to Nick, and I was like, hey, Nick. Can you drive Core Works for us?
Hell yeah.
Like, this guy's a robot. And he does. I mean, how you do simulator every day for X amount of hours a day.
I try and drive at least probably 10 hours a week just on sim stuff. You know, even if it's just not drifting, just to get some sort of seat time. So in today's day and age, it's pretty difficult around here to be able to go to the track like every weekend or something, but to have the sim set up is a real help also. So
yeah, so that's what I actually wanted to ask, you know, just to go a little bit back a little bit here, like as far as like Greg, when you guys are getting prepped for the season, what does it look like for Core Works? Like I'm honestly curious, like do you guys constantly keep in contact? Are you guys doing some seat time? Or is the team just kind of, I know you have Ryan over there working on everything. That's the mad scientist pulling everything together and put it back together. Like what does it look like?
So the off season, Core Works, we only take in a few cars every year. So a lucky few customers every year, we get to work on their vehicles. Besides that, we block off a lot of time for people like Noah back in the Formula Drift season. So the off season, kind of after SEMA, all the way through January, we have no cars being dropped off, nothing coming into the shop. It is all hands on deck on FD program. And yeah, car gets fully torn down, all the way down to its bare skinnies, everything inspected, all the lines pressure checked, everything we can do. This season was kind of fun for us though. This season was a bit different. Parts availability is kind of shaken up. What we see in Formula Drift and what we can get. So a normal off-season rebuild where we may tear down an engine fully, or you know, we may strip the transmission out, a lot of it we kind of had to go through with a fine brush and say, what can we rebuild? What can't we rebuild? Certain things like head studs are on, you know, they're still on another 7 months back order from today's date.
Jeez.
So we can't, if we take the heads off the engine, we're going to be reusing, but yeah, there's a lot of sacrifices that went into it. However, Core Works is small. We have a fabricator, Sebastian. Mm-hmm. We have Ryan, our engine builder and chassis prep. So we only have two guys here, and then we have Nick. So off season, Nick actually works here about 40 hours a week, unpaid, of course, on his car and a few other cars that we have here. It's a full thing. Like off season is very stressful for all of us.
Yeah.
It's very, we don't really get to take vacations. I think off season is a little bit more hectic than the actual season starting. Well, plus you have anxiety and all those other things.
I could imagine. And not only that, like, you know, coming up and, you know, going into pro, and I'm sure for you, Nick, you were kind of like, you know, stressing a little bit, I'm sure. Cause you're going in there with heavy. I mean, literally Bakchis, you get him on the top 32. I mean, how more hectic can you get? You know what I'm saying? But it's like, but like I said, as a fan, I was really happy. And not only that, so going dialing back a little bit when it comes to like, you guys already know the pandemic hit us a lot, you know, especially being a manufacturer ourselves, you know, having to kind of like, you know, how many people are constantly, you know, I need this, I need that. And we're obviously a little bit backed up ourselves. So I could only imagine what you guys are dealing with building and stuff like that. But yeah, man, that's crazy. And not only, you know, I'm excited because, so this actually started, I know me and Scott were talking about it because people were asking about us making white wheels. And we were like, yo, so it actually started with you guys being like, you know what? We want to make these hexaforms white. And we were like, all right, we gotta stock up and make them in white ourselves.
So that's a thing. Scott Weiss, as well as you, we've been friends for quite some time. Yeah. And every year, whoever it is that we're working with in a Formula Drift program, we've always asked, hey, Scott, can we powder coat them white? Can we do something white? Can we do this color? And you know, for obvious reasons with Koenig, as a sponsor driver, it's not smart for us to run something on the car that they can't buy through you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really work good with a partnership when we run something on our car that's not even offered by the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. So understandably, we've always ran the colors, which we love, and adapt delivery to those colors. This year, you and Scott said that we could powder coat them. Something, we caught you guys on a good day, or like you said, you were talking about it. You said, yeah, you guys can do them white. And it changed the look of that wheel.
Oh, dude.
It's a beautiful wheel already, and we got the B profile. Oh, my God, the wheel looked good.
Dude, so it was funny because we have another sponsor driver that we have that does road racing. His name is Eric Coutel. He was like kind of advocating for it too. He's like, yo, Luis, can we get some white wheels? I need, you know, those hexaforms, because he has hexaforms in black right now in his car. And he's like, can we get some white wheels? And then you guys mentioned it. So literally when you guys mentioned it, it was like, all right, so people are asking, might as well make it happen. And then when I saw you guys, with the livery and the, I was like, yo, dude, now, because I got a Ford Fiesta, now I got to put them joints on my car. I'm like, I don't care. Nick Novak's got them on. I'm on it.
We had fun with them this year. We got you guys, they said, yeah, you guys can powder coat them, but you got to make a spoke decal. So we did that real cool, like, faded out spoke decal color. Dude, white wheels are just the jam. I'm sorry, but white is the best looking wheel color.
Well, and that's funny that you, because I remember when Scott was like, yo, see if Greg can make a decal. And I'm like, CoreWorks has that. Like, you guys know what you're doing when it comes to designing stuff. So when I was like, yo, make the decal, I knew you were going to make it mint. And everybody's asking us, like, yo, how can we get one of those decals? I'm like,
I got a boy. I'll
stay tuned. Yeah. But yeah.
You guys have been growing tremendously, and I think the biggest thing that impressed us when we were shopping for Koenig wheels this year is the B profile. Mm-hmm. I think we were messaging you.
Yeah.
And something about Koenig's B profile lineup the past couple of years, you guys have been killing it.
Well, you know, and I think that's all due to Scott, man. Scott's been doing his thing here for a minute. Now he's president, and he's, you know, he's one of those type of people where he's taught me this as well, is kind of just listening to the people, man. Well, if the people want it, man, why not make it? I'm sure you guys understand that in CoreWorks as well. I've seen you guys make some really dope stuff, and obviously you're making it because the people want it. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's how we got to run our business, and I'm glad to have guys like you who, like, you know, kind of are able to be our guinea pigs in a sense, like being like, okay, they're going to put the white wheels on it, and if people demand it, people, as soon as you guys did it, people were hitting us up. How can we get those? How can we get those? I'm like, obviously, there's something that they're doing right.
All
right,
here we go now. Yeah. No, it was funny. It was Taylor Hull, bless him, you know, great guy. He's got the same wheels as us, but he doesn't. But he doesn't. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, the same wheels. Yeah. Nah, B profile wide on a BMW. They fit perfect. Like, and I'll tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. This is God honest. Nick, again, works here with me. Sits on this couch across from us all day and hears me sell wheels. And when people say, why Koenig? I say, why not? They're on the fastest cars in the world. They're on some of the most competitive drift cars in the world. They're on. We have taken Koenigs off and on a car more times than most people do in their lifetime in one season. We have hit cars with our Koenigs. We have gone off tracks.
I've hit walls with
Koenigs. He says, yeah, we have hit everything. And we still run the same Koenigs that you guys gave us the very first day because they have lasted, they are light, they look good. But all in all, like, out of all that, tell me why not?
You're a sick dude. Anyways, but yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, you've been with, you know, you've been rolling with us for a minute. So, you know, the love is always appreciated, man. But So, all right, let's dial back a little bit. And this is just a question that I ask because I love to hear the backstory. If you've ever listened to any of the other podcasts with Stukey and Kelsey and Taylor, they've all kind of told me exactly how they got into this community. And it's always very different for each of them. You know what I'm saying? So, Nick, what made you get into drifting? How did you get into drifting? Like, what does that look like for you?
So, I first discovered drifting. I was at a movie theater with my dad, you know, saw the Tokyo Drift preview, and I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And
it's exactly what you think it would be. Yeah. Formula Drift Pro 1 driver saw Tokyo Drift. That's exactly what we all wanted to hear.
And then, I then went to a D1 event back in 2007 when I was 12.
Yeah.
And loved it then. Didn't get a chance to go to another event until Formula Drift at Palm Beach in Florida in 2012. Mm. Saw it again in person there and was just hooked and had to follow ever since. And in 2015, we got another E36 M3, my yellow car.
Mm.
And we initially got it to do track stuff because my dad and I were doing track days here in Atlanta. And, you know, I found out that, you know, 30 minutes the other way on the same road, they were doing drift events across the street at Lanier from Road Atlanta. And I went to one, I saw it, I was like, okay, this is actually a relatively safe environment to learn. Convinced my dad to let me go, and it's just snowballed ever since.
Hell yeah. That's fire, man. Like, So because obviously this is something, a mindset that you kind of have to have when you're doing these type of things. When do you say to yourself, okay, I'm in this for real. I'm chasing for a pro license. Like, how does that even happen? Like, because building a program is not easy, man. And I'm sure you know that more than anyone.
So, one of our local organizers started having their grassroots series and I really wanted to compete in that. I ended up competing in it and doing really well and ending up actually winning that championship and was like, okay, well, what's the next step from here? It's to go to Pro-Am and, you know, see how well I can do. Did pretty well there. Ended up with a Pro 2 license my second season of Pro-Am, actually two of them.
That's right.
You
won
two Pro 2 licenses. He's humble bragging, but yeah, so Pro Am, and you won two licenses in 1 year.
So, the first season of Pro Am I did in 2018. I did Lone Star Drift for the full season and one round of East 10.
Hmm.
I ended up finishing fourth in Lone Star, just one spot out of getting a Pro 2 license. Then the next season, I ran both the full season of Lone Star and the full season of East 10. Ended up finishing first in Lone Star and third in East 10. And it grew from there. And yeah.
The boys went in multiple licenses twice. Why? Why? So, you tell me.
I mean, I say this with love too. Like, yo, dude, I remember when you were coming in. The hype was real, dude. Like, everybody knew, you know, when you were coming in that something was about to happen. You know what I'm saying? And you literally podium. Like, that's what you did. You came in and you, like, literally few points from winning the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? So it only made sense for you to make the jump. And already, like I said, you know, already this year, you're already putting some heat out to those pro guys, dude.
Last year was our Prospect Series. And that was a fun year. That was a really, really fun year. Nick came out, was able to qualify and win the first round. And from there, it was just a battle with like really good prospect drivers, a really good field. But we have like, there's like these two dudes throughout a whole season, realistically like one person that we had our eyes set on all season, And you may know Dimitri Bruski. He's back-to-back champions now. Now, we've had our eyes set on this driver. Now, in competitive, no matter what it is, you know, football, basketball, any sport, there's always that rival.
Mm-hmm.
That's our dude. Yeah. And I don't know if you remember, there was last round last season where we were about to see Dimitri in the finals.
Yeah.
And Nick's roof had flown off the round before, which disqualified him. So we're at this crossroads now where we've moved on to pro, but we don't get to face our number one rival.
Mm.
And I think that's like our number one thing that we're still kind of holding on to from Formula Drift. It's like, cool, we get to go against Odie, but we really want to get Dimitri.
That's fire.
I heard you called him out this last week, didn't you?
So, yeah, one of the events during Drift Week, there's an Adam LZ fun day at Englishtown on the Formula Drift track.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he was there in his seat time car. I was there in mine. I tried to get him to do the mock battles with me, but ended up driving with another Koenig driver, Brian Wadman.
Yeah.
And we had some fun together too, so.
But, you know.
It was fun.
It was fun. But now Nick's hungry for this Dimitri Brewski rematch battle. So we're going to have to try and set that up. You guys going to Hyperfest, aren't you?
That's right. We'll be in Hyperfest. And yeah, man.
I think Dimitri might be out there too. So we can set up a nice little battle between the two.
That'd be sick, dude. That'd be sick. But yeah, man, I mentioned, man, I'm excited to see what you're going to be doing this season. And so what I want to ask too is also like, now that I want to look into the future a little bit, you know what I mean? I want to know, what do you expect for the season moving forward? Like how do you see yourself moving forward? Is it something that you're looking to win? Are you looking just to get rookie of the year? Or what exactly is it look like for the CoralWorks team and Nick Novak?
Personally, I feel like I have the team and the car to be able to put it on the box.
Hell yeah. Multiple
times if I can this year. It's just learning as much as I can, as quickly as I can, and you know, making sure that I don't mess anything up.
Yeah.
I think ultimate goal is rookie of the year.
Absolutely.
Is rookie of the year. Yeah, for the team.
I'm going to do everything I can still to try and put it on the box also. So
that's what's
we'll
up.
See if it works out. Hopefully it does. But you know, if I didn't think I could do it, I wouldn't be doing it. So
let me blow your mind a little bit. Again, Nick Novak, everybody, the most humble person you've ever met in your life. So let me brag for him.
Yeah.
Where he says, you know, he's got to adapt to these other drivers, kind of catch up as quick as possible. He's never tandemed with the best of the best in 1,000 horsepower cars before. Never been in this environment. Mm-hmm. But that run you saw with Odie, believe it or not, was his first tandem follow run and lead run that he had done throughout practice with the same driver where we actually said put it on. Every other time we went to practice, we followed twice. And we had to give space because it's practice.
Yeah, yeah.
That was his first tandem pro practice / comp run.
I mean, come on. I mean.
Come on. He's good. And he's in a fantastic car with a great crew. And I truly think when again, he says these humble things, like I think we can put it on the box. Mm-hmm. I know he can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. We're actually showing B-roll of you and Brewski going at it too. So
ooh, I don't want to see it. It's going to get me all fired up. They've seen each other multiple times in battle in multiple different scenarios. And in 2020, ProSpec had no qualifying. Mm. It was just go out there. Here's, you know, kind of a pick from a hat.
Yeah.
And so it was always alphabetical.
It was alphabetical, basically, yeah.
So because of having an N last name, I would always have to run in 32. I would never get by runs.
Yeah.
So the last round, just how that works out, he technically gave Brewski his license, his first championship license, because he took out Hurst, he took out Love, he took out everybody that was supposed to get his license. And so Brewski was like fourth or fifth, I think.
He was fourth.
And then ends up winning the season because they just took them all out. So nonetheless, let's go to 2021 now. And it's like, I'm not giving him his license this year. Okay, so that final battle in Irwindale that we didn't get because of Nick's roof, it's like a real thing, man. It's a real battle. It's and We love Dimitri. We love his family.
Yeah.
There's no hate whatsoever. It's a competitive thing.
Yeah, it's just love. Yeah. That's the cool thing about competition. It's really, you leave it all on the track. That's all, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So question, now that you're here and you're pro, and I like to ask this question because everyone has their own answers. And obviously, before you're a drift pro, you're a fan of this. You know what I mean? So if you could, who do you want to run against? Like when you're out there, who exactly do you want to run against when you see the roster? Like, what's a dream run that you would want to do?
Probably Chelsea. I mean, ever since my first day watching Formula Drift, you know, Chelsea had become my favorite driver because at the time I had an E36. He was the only one driving an E36. Yeah. But like, that's my guy.
Yeah.
And he drove it super aggressively, and it was always, you never knew what was going to unfold when you watched him. You knew it was going to be entertaining. You knew it was going to be hard driving. But was he going to crash the car? Maybe. But, you know, he was always trying to win doing it. So
how about you, Greg? Who do you want to see him go against?
Chelsea. So there's this thing with Chelsea DeNova, and it is a huge brag. Chelsea goes 100% no matter what.
Yeah.
And we'll show up to FD events. And usually when you show up, like, your first day at a Formula Drift event, it's not open to the public. A lot of people don't see. The guy's practicing. A lot of guys don't run bumpers, things like that, because they're just trying to figure out the track.
Chelsea
goes straight into the follow line. Mm-hmm. Chelsea kind of – people don't know this on the backside, but Chelsea plays great mind games with the rest of the field. When we're all out there trying to get our tires warm, figuring it out, hey, Nick, how's the car feel or anything, Chelsea is running doors. And then comes back, puts it right back in the line, and just back to back to back. Now, sometimes it works for him. Sometimes it doesn't, but it doesn't matter. He's always, always at 100%. And I think when you put Nick in there with the mix, where I can tell Nick's a little robot, where I can literally tell Nick, go 75%, go 90%, go 100%. I haven't got to tell Nick to go 100% yet.
Yeah.
You know, as a spotter, I have not told Nick to give it to somebody and give him 100% yet. With Chelsea, when that day comes, we know that he's going to have to crab walk this BMW in a weird scenario. We know he's going to have to be faster than ever. And those Nitto cars don't drive. They don't drift like other cars on the track.
Yeah.
Watch like LZ. Who's the drivers on Nitto this year?
Chelsea, LZ... Who else?
I don't know. There's like a, I don't know. Watch the big tire cars.
Sorensen is running on them.
Sorensen kind of. They like pop wheels.
Yeah.
Sorensen kind of.
It's a kind of.
Turk and Osmo. Okay, so Turk and Osmo. They do this thing. Turk and Osmo are phenomenal in how they set up their cars, but those Mustangs, they're basically riding wheelies around the track. Like, they're kind of dragging the lead wheels a little bit, but because of that, they drive those cars totally different. They're on throttle at different times than we are. They initiate differently even. So it's him running 100%, adapting to a car and driver that are completely different than his style.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Chelsea is my most excited to see him go against.
Yeah, for sure. And to be like, the last time I saw you guys, and I saw, I think it was at FDNJ in Jersey where we were set up there, you could tell, Nick, when you're in AutoZone, there's like, you're just literally just like, okay, this is what I'm focused on. Like, people could talk to you, but you're just gonna be like, hey, like, I'm focused on this, you know what I mean? yeah. So but that's what makes you special, man. That's what makes you who you are. And I think, like I said, this is not just speaking for myself, I'm sure I'm speaking for a lot of people, man. We're all looking forward to your career. You know, you're just getting started, and you know, especially having a team like CoreWorks behind you. And you know, I'm sure it makes it all the easier and better, you know what I'm saying, when you get on that track.
Yeah, they've been nothing but fantastic the whole time, and I couldn't ask for better people around me.
Hell yeah. So, just now, I know you're doing FD. A lot of people do different things. Obviously, you're coming to Hyperfest and whatnot. Is there any other events that we should be able to look at, you know, come find you at? Are you going to be doing any other grid lives, or is it just focused on Formula Drift?
I'm mostly focused on Formula Drift. I'm trying to get my old Pro-Am car together to be able to make some of the gamblers up in English towns, maybe a couple of clutch kickers rounds, maybe a grid life or two.
Hell yeah. Hell
and yeah. If that can happen, then I'll definitely.
You seen some of these events throwing out $10,000-$50,000?
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. Was... Okay. Nick sends me something like last week of this Podunk little town track. It looks like it's made out of basically 2x4s and hopes and dreams. They're throwing out, what, 50 grand?
It's 50 grand first, 1,000 to first place.
50 grand, 25 to first, brother. Yo, like, we're not... Okay. No, we're not going to take the pro car. But we're going to build a car that's almost identical. Because if these race series are going to start throwing out these amounts of money...
Yeah.
And... I don't know if it's a pride thing or not, where you don't see a lot of the pro drivers coming
out
there.
Running, yep.
Where these events are welcoming pros.
Yeah.
Look at Taylor Hole and Clutch Kickers.
Yeah.
He went down there and said, I'll bring the pro car, I'll take some money and bounce. You know, Alec Honnodale's out there, I'll take some money, you know, like we saw Adam LZ and stuff. So like, I don't care how good of a driver you are. $25,000-$50,000 is $25,000-$50,000, and if you're one of the best,
Madison just won. He just won Madison himself a little bit check. Yeah, he got himself like $10,000-$15,000 just winning. I think it was like Riverside Drift or something. I'm like, dude, let go of the pride.
Let go of the pride. Like, yeah.
Like at the end of the day, you're still doing what you love. You know,
Formula Drift does legitimize any team or any driver. 100%.
Yeah.
Goodness, like. We got a check last year from Formula Drift, and I think we were like, well, you want to get lunch? Like, you know, respect, but, like, it ain't $25,000.
100%. 100%.
So I think Nick is actually, speaking as, like, the cars that we're trying to work on, I think we're going to have basically three cars, most likely. Maybe a Corvette
Sick.
In the mix.
Hell yeah.
Maybe a Corvette in the mix, but
maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We're trying to figure out everything. He's got an LS and a crate back there. We're just figuring out what to put it in. That's a real thing.
Nice.
I don't know. But you guys will get rides in it at Hyperfest, which is the cool thing. We're going to debut the car. We're going to get some new Koenigs on there. It's going to look great. Oh, yeah. Can we get some new Koenigs, by the way? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but we need two new wheels.
Of course, I got you, man. Just send me the email. I got you.
He said, yeah. Here, let me jot that down somewhere.
So this is going a little bit back, just because I remember Scott actually wanted to know about it, and I think it's a good question too. Like, as far as for the team, you know, when you're dealing with the body damage and stuff like that, what is the process of how you guys handle that at CoralWorks before going into the next event?
Do you want to take this one? You're the one that screwed it all up.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of vaguely could tell what, you know, but I want to hear from you guys, because I think, you know, this is, you know, good advice also for people that are running, you know, Pro-Am and stuff like that.
Long Beach was wild. Long Beach was a lot harder on the cars. Oh, everybody, the whole field, I would say.
Yeah.
But this... Nick's car is not currently at CoralWorks because it's on a frame rack. And has been. And it's not like that hard a hit. But brother, when you hit a wall at 60 miles per hour, run after run after run after run, and they're judging you on, they want you to hit that wall.
Yeah.
It's gonna tweak some stuff. So up until like the front and back of the car's gotta get reworked, and body work wise, God, we have, thank God, we have good partners.
Yeah,
we have like the best partners for body work. Big Duck Club and Tua.
Yeah,
Big Duck Club does our front and rear fenders, and we went all last season on one set of quarter panels, and they just like kind of crumple in and post back out.
No cracking or anything, just flex, pop right out.
It's kind of fun. You just walk up to any corner of no back or most FD cars. Just kind of push in and they bounce back out.
Yeah.
Formula Drift cars are very elastic. But 2F, we got one run out of the rear bumper We got, I think the front bumper will be okay. I think the only thing from round one that we're going to reuse is the doors and side skirts. Doors and side skirts. We got a new roof, everything. The roof is getting changed. Everything's getting changed. Like, the car got messed up, dude.
You know what's funny? It's like, you know, because obviously watching it as a fan, you know, and, you know, not drifting in any capacity, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, it looks all right. Like, because that's the one thing I love about Nick, man. You go for it. You know what I'm saying? You always go for it. And literally, I always see that little panel flopping around and stuff like that. But it's what makes you entertaining. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like, you know, but now hearing it from this end, and that's the reason why we wanted to ask you that is because at the end of the day, man, these boys are working hard for you guys just to entertain you guys. You know what I'm saying? Just to show you that they could send it, you know? So that's dope, man.
Fun fact, I think we're the only team at FD that has our vinyl wrapper on site. So in between days and runs, he's wrapping new panels and putting them on there. So, but that's serious. Like, you look at, like, when he wadded the car and went back out, there's vinyl back over the zip ties.
I think we used half a bag of zip ties to hold everything together to make it through the event.
And then he ran new vinyl over it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Gangster.
There was a great moment with Nick and I. It happened last year when we went with 2F, the body kit company.
Yep.
2F makes their kits a little bit lower than every other kit.
Yeah.
Really just kind of for competition style cars, you know, make the cars with wise fab and big suspension, make them look low.
Yep.
So we threw on the kit and Nick and I started to look at it and we were like, that's too low, man. And when we say too low, it's about an inch to 2 inches off the ground.
Sometimes not even.
Like in pictures, we'll get like the bumper slide in the ground. And Nick was the man that said, let's commit. Like, I want to look good.
Hell yeah. And he do.
I'm going to run it over. And he has. He has ran over so many front bumpers in practice. Like, this front bumper comes to this lodge, run it over.
Gangster.
But it's Nick's bringing this very fun style that does exist in drifting. I'm not saying that exists or currently in Formula Drift. He's just adding to it. You know, we saw with the Force Wang, stuff like that, where it's real snappy transition, sets the car up a little bit more loose, and then at the same time just makes it look good. The dude's he just does this. I don't know how to tell you. When he makes a mistake, it's hard for us to see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. So, you know, just because I think, you know, we obviously know, you obviously told us, you know, that what we could look forward to when it comes to the Formula Drift season. And I think you're going to accomplish those things. But like I said, I knock on wood because I'm a fan and I know. But you did the same thing last year. Well, with podium and honestly, I saw it coming and you made it happen. But besides that, though, I wanted to ask this, beyond drifting, what does your guys' life look like? You know, I'm just curious as a fan, like, what does Nick's life look beyond drifting? What does Greg's life look like beyond drifting? Or is it always about drifting?
Oh, that's a weird thing, Butta. That's a really weird thing to ask, but it's, what do you say? There's really not one outside.
No.
As much as like, I truly want to answer this honestly.
Yeah.
And there's not much one outside. Now, there is loved ones in my life.
Yes.
Quality time with. And when I say quality time, it's not. Because we're doing 8 weekends a year at Formula Drift. We're doing Hyperfest. We're doing these other events. We're doing Drift Week and stuff. Like, no, we kind of are all in.
Hell yeah.
I mean, like I said, this morning he came back from Drift Week. And then he's got, next week he's got Formula Drift Atlanta. The week in between he's got Hyperfest with you guys. And the week after is Formula Drift in Orlando. And then somewhere in between we have to build the car for Hyperfest.
And that's one of the reasons why I ask these type of questions, because I want people to know that, you know, especially when it comes to you guys, this is a real thing, man. This is what you guys do. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people, they sit there and try to side skirt a lot of these things and say, well, you know, I could do this in the weekends and try to do this. Nah, man, if you want to go full send like these dudes do, you have to put everything into it. And that's the reason why, you know, you've gotten, yourselves into the position that you have, where you guys are literally killing the game, you know? So I'm appreciative as a fan, and, you know, for sure,
thank,
man.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's I think that goes with anybody that's just really that loves what they do. There's a lot of people that like what they do. There's very few people that truly can use the word love for what they do.
Yeah.
I think Nick is one of those people that can really envelop himself. You're one of those people. You've been with Koenig for a long time. I see a lot of people in our industry, a lot of people who do like our industry, sport compact, whether it be off-road, whatever it is, but automotive in itself. Most of our friends that work in this industry or driving industry truly love what they do.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the reason why a lot of us get along, you know what I'm saying? Because you could see the passion. Like, you know, when I met you, Greg, it was instantly I was like, yo, this dude is cool. Just because you could see the passion and everything. Not only that, I see it. So, like, for example, I wanted to kind of use this as an example. There was actually a picture of when Nick, you won your first round in ProSpec. And literally the picture, I got to send it to you guys, the picture of Greg's eyes. He looks like he was about to bawl in just happiness because he's like, yo, my boy's fucking, you could just tell, you just like, my boy's killing the game right now. And then obviously he's with you, he's your teammate, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And that's that, you can't change that for, I mean, you can't exchange that for anything, you know. And I think when you have that passion for this game, it's not change, you can't, I don't know how to explain it to people. It's just something that you have to experience on your own, you know.
It is, and it's I'm doing a lot of talking, Nick. I'm sorry, but to build a kind of an emotional picture. It's an off season of everything we just talked about, all that hard work, the stress that we go through, the anticipation, you know, coming off of like, what are we gonna look like this year? How's the car gonna perform? And so you show up at your round one. You just show up. It's you know pretty close for us. You show up and you just pull out the car and things just work and he's feeling it. Everybody starts vibing. What do? You qualify first. You go, all right, guys, let's do this. This is our round. Like, let's do it. Let's get a good night's sleep tomorrow. We're coming out hard. You know, we show up to track 4 hours early. First one's out on grid, ready to go. And you win the event. And so what it is like all this like manifesting, all of these hopes, all of this hard work by multiple people adding up. And so when you show up at your very first event and you just sweep it, when you win, qualify first, win first, I did cry. And other than Nick and a kiss on the cheek, the first person I called was my mom. And I called mom and I said, my mom, who's been one of my number one fans my whole life, said, Mom, we did it.
Yeah.
Our team just did a perfect event. And it was. You say I looked like I was about to cry. No, I was crying, brother.
Hell yeah.
I was crying because it's Nick and I and stuff, we don't have bosses that come around and slap us on the back and say, good job, you did great here.
Yeah.
We have points. We have trophies. We have the only way that we know this is literally a points program. And if you're standing on a box, that's how you did a good job. Because if you didn't, nobody else is going to be telling you you did a good job.
That was beautifully said. Beautifully said, literally to the point where me and Nick are looking at you like, yep.
That's it.
Can't add much to that. That's
last thing I want to end this with, just because I know you guys have a busy day and I'm appreciative that you even took the time to have a conversation with me. Nick, for a person who wants to get into this life and decides to themselves, you know what, I see Nick killing it, I feel like I see himself in my see myself in him, what is the advice that you would give them to start their career and what you're doing? Like, how would you give them? Like, what's the first thing that they should do or aim towards?
Seat time. Get as much seat time as you can. Learn as much as you can. Don't overcomplicate your life. You know, there's a lot of great drivers who, you know, sometimes they'll overcomplicate their cars and that takes them out of competition, where their skill is there, but their car is either overbuilt or underbuilt. And, you know, just keep everything simple, make sure everything works, and, you know, just push for it.
Is there a mic to drop? Because literally, I think that was another best answer. So, anyways.
He said, buy a Corvette, put an angle hit on it. Be done with it.
I mean, that's in today's day and age, that's the easiest thing to do.
Hell yeah.
You need a car that's reliable, that you can advance your skill with, where you're not capping out the limit of the vehicle.
Yep.
So a KA24 240SX, immediately capping out the skill of a driver. I'm just sorry. If you can link a track in a KA car, so can everybody else. But something, you need something where it's going to challenge you. And I think like the BMW platforms and stuff, but Nick's right, the seat time. And do you think the simulator as well?
Sims, absolutely. Like I, before I even started drifting or doing track stuff for real, I had 3 or 4 years of sim experience.
Yeah.
So it definitely helps.
There you go. Make sure you get some seat time, guys.
Yeah. Wreck a digital car. Don't wreck the real one.
Max wants to know what game you were playing.
What game we're playing?
Yeah, that's what he just asked me. I don't know what that
means. So when I first started, it was on Forza 4.
There you go. You heard that, Max? Forza 4.
And then graduated over to PC and started doing Assetto Corsa, and that's still what I use to today.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a whole little rig set up already. I don't know. Max is trying to do something, and Scott wants to, you know, get himself one. He hasn't had it set up yet, but.
Yo, Max, you want to grab these doors? Come on, log on after this, man. You got some doors at this point. You got to sit right here, brother. You ain't safe. Either way, you ain't either safe. Way the formula drifts.
But with that being said, guys, I'm going to let you guys go do your thing because I know you guys have a lot of work ahead of you. We will be seeing these guys. They're going to – so just a little drop here. They're going to be with us in the booth at Hyperfest. So make sure you come by. Check us out. We're going to be hanging out, and you can actually see us talking like this live, you know. And not only that, also my boy Greg just let me know that at Formula Drift Atlanta, he's going to be doing a pre-party, correct?
Yeah. So Thursday before Formula Drift Atlanta – we're having a pre-party here with Larry Chen, Jared Danda, Nick's going to be here, and a bunch of cars with underglow. So Typhest Lighting is putting on a underglow show in our parking lot from 6 to 10 p.m.
Gangster. I mean,
we're having an underglow car show.
I might have to fly out for that one.
I don't know. Dude, we have a bunch of underglow kits. I've just been giving them out to my friends. Like, come on, man. I'll see you on Thursday. Bring it back.
Hell yeah. That's so dope. But yeah, man, go check those guys out. And guys, thank you so much for the time. I'll be seeing you guys soon, and I appreciate you very much. I'll tell Scott you guys say hello too.
Much love, Scott. Congratulations on being president, baby.
The pros.
Chris Ealus. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much. All right, guys. So that, I hope you guys enjoyed that one. Honestly, I have fun with that one. Those guys are really super dope, and I'm truly excited to see what Nick does. Throughout this season, man, because the boy is hot. And as I said, I mean, I'm not going to – I think I said it way too many times, but I'm a big fan, and I'm appreciative that we get to work with guys like that who are ambitious and ready to go. So, yeah, with that being said, guys, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Make sure to tune in Friday where we're going to be dropping a piece of content. And we do this every Wednesday. Sometimes it's live, sometimes it's not, but – we're here every Wednesday, so make sure to tune in with us. And we always go live at 2 p.m. where we're going to be answering all the questions. So if you have any other questions that you ever want to ask us live right on time, make sure to tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. live. Guys, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much, and you have a beautiful Wednesday. Peace.